This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Power Lunch with Laura Bennett.
Hello, good to have you back with me. Our guest today is one of the funniest guys in comedy right now. He's made a career out of roasting the church culture he grew up in, critiquing everything from millennials' approach to faith, double standards in church leadership, and how to have a Bible verse for every situation. Whatever the roast, though, he makes you laugh through it, earning over 1 billion views on YouTube for his efforts. In this episode, we talk about comedy as escapism, his foray into rap,
scrolling Insta for the satisfaction, thirst trap pick, Bible verse caption, a sponsored child for rolling in a rover, sanctuary Sunday mornings hung over.
Yeah, it's called it. Check your heart. We'll talk about that. And also, how to get a date on Instagram. Please enjoy my conversation with John Crist.
What up? We out here. I got fans in Australia?
You do. I mean, there's only two of us, but I feel like you should claim that.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it. You're like, this isn't even a real radio station. We're just in our parents' basement with a computer, but I wouldn't know.
I like your style, John, and I feel like even though there's only two of us in Australia that do, there are billions of people around the world who are watching your videos. Yeah. You've got over 1 million Instagram followers. So I still find it kind of funny that people talk about you being the next big thing in comedy. Like, when do you just become the big thing? Because I feel like you're there.
When do I become the thing? I was talking to another friend that we were like, somebody's like, oh, I can't believe I'm like meeting my first famous person. And someone said that to me the other day. And I was like, the last person to admit that they were famous would be the actual person. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm the one that's got to like, I don't even know if I like shower today or trying to find a ham sandwich in my fridge and like the meat is like expired. You guys see me on the internet like looking like a star, but I'm the one that sees me in real life. If 103.2 deems me to be not the next, but the actual, then that's when it starts, I think. I'll take it from right now.
All right, we've given you the title. But when you were, like, obvious, receive it. But when did you actually realize you were funny enough to kick off a career in comedy?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I don't even know if I feel like that way now. Any comedian, it's different from, like, a rock star, you know, like a rock star. They don't really need the audience to be like, I need the audience so bad. So no comedian would ever be like, I'm the man, because we're so heavily reliant on the crowd, whether that's digital or in person. We need them to kind of carry our message or maybe laugh. So I am confident in my ability to tell a joke and to tour and have an unbelievable live show, but probably in college, people started being like, wait, this guy's kind of funny, but I didn't start. The first time I did stand up, I was 25, and then I went full-time when I was, like, 28. I'm, like, 35 now, so maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, and it's nice that you can have a career that is as fun as the one that you've got. And you have really taken it to the next level, because now you have added singer to your resume with Check Your Heart.
Oh, yeah.
It is a fun song.
Hey,
it also
it's a bop. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
What inspired the song?
Check Your Heart was, like, kind of like a theme of mine, like kind of a running like viral theme in my show. And then we Dylan 1K and TJ Michael at my buddies here in the States, and we all decided to partner up and make a track. And they were like, hey, we're not gonna make, because they're like rappers, like they're like, we're not gonna make it if it's gonna be like hokey and like stupid and like Christian and like dumb. Like, if we're gonna come on board with it and attach our names to it, it's gonna be well funded and we're gonna make sure it's great. And I was like, sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. And I mean, it is, like, it's fun, but it also is a bit deep because it has a real go at, like, internet trollers and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. What did you want to say about that conversation?
I like that. What did you say? What was that phrase you said? It has a real go at it?
It has
a real go at it. Well, so the Check Your Heart theme is, like, it's the same as my live show. It's, like, just who you are in private should be who you are in person. It's kind of like a Dill's line in a gin and tonic in a cup that's labeled Sonic. It's similar to like a McDonald's cup or something like that.
Yeah.
So the premise would be, hey, the Lord already knows that you drink. You know, first of all, it's not a problem, but it's kind of like our parents, I don't know about culturally over there, but culturally here, our parents' version of Christianity was kind of no drinking, no cussing, no smoking. but all these things are done in private. And our kind of version of Christianity is like, hey, listen, let's be honest about our flaws and be open about who we are. And if there's ever going to be any improvement or healing that takes place, it's going to be because darkness came into light. But that's getting too serious. It is mostly like a joke of a song, but it does have a meaning. Yeah, it does have a go.
Yeah, it does have a go, and you nail the look of a rapper, even though, like, I won't spoil it for people that haven't watched the clip yet, but the end of it is just so awkward, and it's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that is the best. But you've totally nailed the Christian niche. So why did you choose to focus on the church in your comedy?
Okay, well, my dad is a pastor, and I grew up in church, and I was very... I grew up in the South and is very traditionally Christian. And I was like homeschooled. Then I went to a Christian college. Then I worked at a ministry, worked at a church. Then I worked at Chick-fil-A, which is like the most Christian restaurant of all time. Like all the Christian stereotypes, I kind of like had them nailed. Any comedian of anywhere would say that if you're going to be a transformative comedian, we need you talking about what you know about in depth and deeply. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, like, I grew up in church. My dad's a pastor, homeschooled, know the Bible. Like, they were like, if you're going to be a transcendent comedian, instead of, like, shying away from all that, this should be what you are talking about. And I think a lot of it's been so well received because everybody our age is kind of like, thank you for finally saying this. Like, I love Jesus. I want to be like the guy in the book. That being said, I'm also going to, like, make out with my girlfriend or boyfriend, or I'm also going to have a drink on Friday night or whatever it is. And that's kind of like, and everybody's doing it, but I'm kind of like the first guy to be like, to say it. I was actually talking to Brian Houston of Hillsong, and he said, I was like, I should tour in Australia. And
yes.
He said, he was joking, but he goes, actually, I don't know if you should, because you're like very edgy over in the States, but over here, that's how we talk. Like, we roast each other and make fun of everybody. So he goes, you might not be that edgy in Australia as
we'll
you
just
are
have
in
a
the
giggle.
States. And I was like, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll be like, okay. But here, everybody's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that. But over there, the culture is like, yeah, that's kind of how we like roast each other in that type of way.
Mm-hmm. But you'd instantly be one of us. And so I think it would be a special room to be part of. And knowing as much of church culture as you do, when we watch the videos of you in the supermarket and you're rolling scriptures at all the different stores and stuff like that, it makes sense then because it's so much part of you. But I've always wondered, what is everyone else in the supermarket doing when you're walking around with your phone making those videos?
Oh, man. You know what? I say that, like, when I do them in public, I blame... you, actually. I blame the people that watch the videos, because at the beginning, you know, that let's say there's 100 people in the supermarket and I only have 50 followers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more worried about live than on the internet. But now with, you know, 3, 4, 5 million followers, now embarrassing myself in front of 100 people is now kind of inconsequential now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's so many people on the internet. So it's basically... if you ever see me, like, embarrassing myself and you want to blame me, you should, you know, look yourself in the mirror. They say it's partly your fault. So.
Okay, we'll take full credit for any of the people that look at you weird in the supermarket. We'll own that. That's fine.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
you mentioned a moment ago, like, making comedy that kind of transcends, that does something. A lot of comedians inspire political change or social change or have something that they really want their comedy to do. What's the intention with your shows?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, I read a quote the other day. This is probably going to get too, like, serious or, like, philosophical, but somebody said, if you're going to tell someone the truth, make it funny, otherwise they'll kill you. And I was like, man, there's a lot of truth in that. Like, I have a video, one of my most popular videos of all time is called Church Hunters. It's like a spoof on the show House Hunters, and there's this couple is moving to a new city, and they're trying to find a church. So they go through a couple of churches, like, oh, I don't like this church. Worship was too long. I don't like this church. There's no Wi-Fi. I don't like this church. The pastor untucked his T-shirts or whatever it was.
Mm.
So that's a joke, but it came from a place where I went to, I think I was in South America somewhere on a mission trip, and we were going to this church, and we were, you know, sitting on plastic chairs on concrete, and it was 120 degrees outside, and that it was Spanish. We couldn't really understand it, but the Holy Spirit was like alive in that place, and people were so excited to be there. Mm. And I got angry at American church that's very makes everyone very comfortable. But if I just post a blog or make a video, I can't believe these American desensitized Christians that are all seeker friendly just being angry. Mm. Then that message doesn't really infiltrate. You know what I'm saying? Definitely doesn't share well. But if it's coded in humor, then people, like, we've had hundreds of emails to our website to be like, hey, we're like moving to a new city and we're looking for a new church, and your video has like honestly convicted us.
Mm,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So like sometimes the joke is just a stupid, silly joke, but sometimes it has a purpose. Yeah.
And it is just fun. No, I like that. Okay. So I have a deep question for you and then a fun question for you. The deep question, because you're allowed to be serious. A lot of people say comedians that your comedy is kind of like, you're really funny, but if you actually, like, I remember the movie from Adam Sandler years ago called Funny People that basically said all comedians have their own secret pain they're dealing with, and the laughs are their way of escaping that. Is that kind of true for you as well, or do you think that's a blanket rule?
That would be true for me. I don't know about the level of darkness that they've experienced in that movie, but it is a lot of people have said, they email our website, like, I'm going through like chemotherapy, or I got cancer, and I think about this disease in my body. But when I came to your show, or I watch your videos, and I escape a little bit, and I feel better about my life, or whatever. If anyone's listening to this, has felt some kind of escape, or maybe an easing of pain, or even laughing just to break the tension.
Mm.
Whatever it does to you, it does 10 times more for me to make it. Some people are like, hey, are you gone through, breakups and issues in my family that have been hard? And people are like, it's comedy. It must be hard to do a comedy show when you're in a lot of pain in your personal life. I go, yeah, no, you don't understand. It makes it way easier because the escape is so real. Because when you're up on that stage and you're joking, there's no, you don't, your problems are kind of gone in a lot of ways.
Let's go from that to this, because in researching this interview, it actually was a whole lot of fun. But I also saw that you're now getting to date American Idol runner-up country star Lauren Elena, which a country singer and a comedian, like, that combination must allow for so much new material for you. And as I understand she approached you through Instagram. So what are the rules there? Like, how do you approach somebody in a social media context for a date?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first of all, let me back you up, and you say, I don't like the way you phrase that. You're saying, I'm getting to date Lauren Elena. Like, I'm lucky. Like, she's way out of my league. I don't appreciate that, number one. I feel like we're on equal footing. that being said, she watched my videos, and she, liked them, and thought that they're funny. And at the beginning, it wasn't like a romantic reach out. It was just like, hey, like, these videos are hilarious. Like, well, kind of like, I'm into it, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of like, well, like, I'll be honest with you. I'm a man. I looked at her profile photo, you know what I'm saying? I looked at her account for a little bit. I was like, honestly, she DM'd me, and she's like, oh, this is super funny. And then we just kind of, like, started chatting. And we kind of deal with, like, the same issues kind of, like, in life with, trouble with social media or people saying ugly stuff or record labels or crowds or business managers, and we just kind of started talking about we have the same issues, and then it developed from there.
Right. Okay. I hear what you're saying. Then, if you like someone on Instagram, find out what their issues are, relate to them on that level, and then you'll get a date.
Yes. That's it. Yeah, I should put out a tutorial together and sell it.
Oh, you know there are people that would totally buy that. John, Chris, they're chatting with us in this episode. You can rate, subscribe wherever you find your podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.